from the heart of the Forest City, this is a Craig Needles podcast brought to you by Lexus of London. Now here's your host, Craig Needles.
Okay, mini tiny little episode of the Craig Needles podcast today. Not a ton to discuss, but I did want to talk about Thames Pool, which I realize is not going to impact a significant portion of the audience. But I do think that there is a lesson to be learned here in communicating with the public if you work in government. Shall we? Let's begin. The City of London announces on Tuesday at, let me look at the time on the email here. I received it in my inbox at 10:32 a.m. City set to open outdoor pools and wading pools across London in July. That is the name of the news release. And I read through, and there's a section about outdoor pools, and it's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 lines. Not until line 7 do we read the following. Due to structural issues, Glencairn Pool and Thames Pool will not open this year. At both locations, thorough assessments were conducted, but unfortunately, the extent of repairs required mean that neither location will be open this season. Now, Glencairn Pool, we already knew about. We know this is disappointing news for both communities. Outdoor pools are popular destinations for individuals and families during the summer season. The city will look into options to offer families and individuals living near Glencairn and Thames Pool with alternative aquatic offerings at neighboring outdoor and indoor pool facilities throughout the summer to accommodate for these closures. Let's go back to the first line there. I believe them on the second line. They'll figure something out, but it's going to not be even remotely close to as good as having the pools open. And they know that. I know no one from the city would dispute what I just said. Nothing they offer is going to be even in the same ballpark as, hey, the pool is open. Due to structural issues, Glencairn Pool and Thames Pool will not open this year. At both locations, thorough assessments were conducted, but unfortunately, the extent of repairs required means that neither location will be open this season. What structural issues? Thorough assessments of what? Repairs required for what? If you're telling two neighborhoods, you don't have a pool this summer, and in the case of folks with Thames Pool, because of all the construction and everything that's been going on there, plus you factor in COVID, the availability of that pool has been sporadic, to say the least. It's certainly not available all the time. Since summer of 2019, this will be the third summer in a row where something has gotten in the way. Right? Third summer in a row. And you're breaking this news to that community, and a lot of other people too. Thames Pool is a big one. With one line in a news release that just, quite frankly, lacks for any sort of reasonable level of detail, which I think is required for something like this. This should have been its own news release, people, as opposed to being buried within a news release entitled City Set to Open Outdoor Pools and Wading Pools Across London in July. So, again, you may not necessarily be super fired up about the pool situation. Maybe you've got the pool close to you that's open. That's fine. I'm not saying that you have to be super passionate about the Thames Pool situation, but I think you should be passionate about the way that the City of London communicates with you, the people who pay the freight for the City of London, when you pay your rent, when you pay your property taxes. And this, to me, is not good enough. Not even close. Let's go over to Twitter, the other way this was communicated, shall we? So there is a thread of tweets about this that's three tweets long. Oh, excuse me, four. Here is the third tweet. Due to structural issues, Glencairn Pool and Thames Pool will not open this year. This is disappointing news for the city and the community. And that's all that's there. Look, I know, it's Twitter. It's 280 characters. But you couldn't have done a few other tweets to acknowledge, hey, this really sucks. And here's what the problem is, and this is why we can't open. Now, keep in mind, the City of London was selling members of this community swimming lessons at Thames Pool last week. Now, we're about to get an explanation on the timeline there, which I'm happy about, and we should get that. We're going to be talking with John Paul McGonagall, the City of London, in just a few minutes here on this podcast, and he's going to explain that to us, and I'm glad and I appreciate his time. But the way this was explained originally to the public was not good enough. And if you're the City of London, you can't wonder why you got a bunch of people who are pissed off at you. And you're receiving negative emails, negative phone calls. So again, this is a situation surrounding a pool that you in all likelihood are not going to be using. Full disclosure, pretty close walk to my house. It's an area of the city that my kids and I frequent. But I think that from a community-wide perspective, a city-wide perspective, you should care about how the stakeholders, you and me and everyone else who lives here, at the City of London are being told this stuff. And this communication strategy, not good enough. Not even close to being good enough. I will note that I called there yesterday afternoon looking for an explanation. My calls went unanswered and unreturned for hours. I made a phone call about a news release that I had received that day. So when you have people calling you or sending a message on Twitter saying, hey, it looks like you got something to hide here, because that's how it came off to me. I think you've got to understand that based on how poorly this was communicated. So the fact that, look, people are going to be upset about this no matter how you broke the news. I'm not disputing that. But the fact that it went the way it did, I think that staff at the City of London have to look inward on that and say, hey, wait a minute, how could we have handled this better? People in the community being ticked off about that, entirely fair. Now, in the replies for the City of London Twitter account sent out, which, by the way, they got 65,000 followers. They said, after an external aquatic consultant was hired to review the Shape of Thames pool, it was noted that the mechanical system and pool flooring have experienced significant damage, must be repaired before it can be deemed safe for public use. Okay, that's a good explanation. Why was that not there the first time? I think it's a reasonable question. So we're going to ask about what's happened here. We're going to ask about the way this is communicated. And we're going to ask about, hey, whether some of the nearby construction projects may have had some sort of relation to the fact that this pool is unavailable. And we're going to do that right now with JP McGonigal, who, of course, is with the City of London. He works in their aquatics department and joins us right here on the Craig Needles podcast to have a conversation about that. John Paul, thank you very much for doing this. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, Craig.
So we find out yesterday, the public finds out yesterday, that Thames Pool is not going to be open for this summer, which comes as a pretty significant disappointment to folks in the neighborhood. Tell us why and how we arrived at this point.
Well, I think first and foremost, it's important to start with we share in the community's disappointment with this outcome at this time. And how it came to be was that as part of our regular process and investigations and inspections and preventative maintenance on getting our outdoor pools up and running, there was some infrastructure failure in our mechanical systems and the pool flooring at Thames. And so, unfortunately, due to those outcomes and some of the work we need to do to further assess and examine the issues and then come to a resolution on that issue, we will just not be able to do that in time to get it all open for this summer. And we know that that's an incredibly difficult news to share. You know, we operate every day to try and give families opportunities to participate. And we most certainly know that this is going to be an inconvenience for many.
Yeah, it certainly will be. And I want to talk about those parents for just a second before I ask sort of some more details about what's going on with the pool here. I've seen online some parents say that they've, you know, bought swimming lessons at Thames Pool. Some parents who have kids who are friends with my kids have said the same thing. So they've been offered refunds or being able to redirect to other places in the city. What are you doing for folks who bought swimming lessons and other packages for things at
Thames?
Yeah,
so that's really important. The first thing that we have started to do is to contact those customers who have registered for those important and impactful programs. And we have tried to start those programs at the same time and move those to other locations. And so we hope that that works for many. And for those that it does not, we hope there is some other alternative that they will consider. But we will be reaching out to the community. We will be working with the community. You know, over the last 2 years, because of COVID, anybody who utilized our pools had to register. And so that gives us a lot of information on people who are users of our facilities that we can reach out to see if we can work on alternate solutions for their individual circumstances. So we will be putting all of our effort into trying to accommodate every user who utilizes Thames Pool.
I hope so as well. Now, what about people who bought the season pass? I know that pass is good at other pools, but depending on what your situation is, you may have easy accessibility to Thames Pool and less so for the other pools. So someone who bought a season pass, could they get a free a full refund as well?
Oh, 100%, Greg.
Okay.
Anybody who cannot find alternate arrangements, who has already paid for courses, there'll be 100% refunds and no questions asked from our perspective. And again, we just apologize for the inconvenience. It's not an ideal circumstance for the community nor for us.
Even if it's not courses, though, just like the family go to the pool and swim for fun pass whenever you want, that pass can be refunded too?
Okay. Most of our rec swims don't actually. A lot of people don't pay in advance, but some who do. We'll be working with customers to give refunds and to try and find alternate arrangements. That's the key for us moving forward.
Let's talk a little bit about how this happened here, because I know that some of these passes and these lessons were being purchased even late last week. So clearly things have changed recently here. I know there was some hope that the pool would be open for a little bit during the summer. Not the case. So what was the timeline like here when discovering that, hey, you know what, we're not going to be able to open this pool?
So we didn't necessarily understand the extent of the problem. We had our own internal service areas and our facility experts trying to help us. It isn't uncommon as we open outdoor pools to run into infrastructure related issues. We did most certainly did not expect this extent. And so late last week, we had an experienced pool consultant come in from out of town to try and better assess and give us some insight into whether they thought it was possible to open for this summer. And the response on that was no. And so we didn't find that out until the end of last week, and quickly tried to turn around and communicate with all the interested parties on that situation.
So I full disclosure, that park and that pool are about a 10-minute walk from where I live. Maybe a little longer than that. Either way, my kids play at that park all the time. And last summer, I walked by the construction work that was being done on the field house and on the pool house. I know there was, the documents I saw, about $2 million spent there, or at least budgeted to be spent there. So I know that wasn't spent on the pool directly, but I wondered how we got from a point to we're spending a few million bucks on what was going on there to, hey, the pool's closed at all. So the pool and its viability wasn't really tested during that process, or did something happen during the winter? Sort of what happened sort of between that construction project and the point where we can't really use the pool this summer?
Well, that construction project, you're absolutely right. The scope of that project was to update the field house and bath house, and that included the change rooms to universal style. There wasn't any mechanical work completed as part of that project. But at the end of every year, we inspect our pools and we close them. And in the spring, we inspect them before we open them. And so similar to individuals who go out to open their pool for the season, sometimes the pump is gone, and infrastructure failure is a real thing. Obviously, the scope of this infrastructure failure is not something that is frequent in our world, but it is a reality. And so the project that was done last year had nothing to do with the pool, and there was no issues with the actual pool itself in the fall. And so these issues have arisen this spring and throughout the winter, possibly. And as we go and inspect our pools to get them open and do all of our pressure testing and all the other inspections that are required, this was simply just the outcome for Thames Pool as part of that infrastructure investigation.
Is it possible, I know this wouldn't be for the pump, but perhaps for the foundation of the pool, is it possible the fact that we've had a lot of construction vehicles in that park because of the bridge and a lot of stuff going on, is it possible that, shifting ground damaged the pool? Because I've seen some speculation about that.
I won't speculate on the correlation of those two items. I think it's much too early in our process of assessment of the infrastructure and the causes of those infrastructure issues. So I think it's too early to speculate. We have experts coming back to town next week to do a complete x-ray of the entire pool, which is quite a big process to try and determine where some of the breaks might be in the piping. And it most certainly is too early to speculate, but it most certainly is not uncommon for us to have construction around many of our amenities in recreation and sport that are out in the community. And I would say our experience is these two items are not related.
I'll ask, what about, you know, June and July of 2023? Do we believe that TEMS will be operational then?
Again, I think it's too early to speculate. Most certainly our objective is to have it open, and our objective was to have it open this year. And so, you know, from our perspective, all of our efforts will be going to find a resolution. It'll depend on the scope of the issues once some of that further assessment is done, and it'll depend on the scope of the cost. And we'll be updating council along the path, and we'll be updating the community along the path as well. And as soon as we know something, we will most certainly be sharing it. And, you know, just to reiterate, our aquatic team is an amazing team, and they come to work every day to get kids in the pool and to see all those smiling faces. So, I know the community is hurting because of it, and again, our team is hurting because of it, but we're focused on finding a resolution to the issue moving forward.
These explanations all make sense to me. Going back, do you wish that perhaps the original Twitter thread that was shared, there wasn't much of an explanation, and there was, I think, one line in the news release. Do you wish that perhaps the explanation was a little more flushed out in those forms? Pardon the pun, I suppose. Just to sort of help ease the blow a little bit, I guess, for folks in the community?
I'll be honest, there's not too many ways to ease the blow.
Yeah.
With this type of outcome, and we know that. Hindsight's always 20/20 in terms of what we could have shared or how we shared it. But we're moving in real time, and we're doing our best to share information in real time with folks, and we're trying to get information out in a timely fashion. And as noted in the report to council last night, we also have a lifeguard shortage across North America, and so taking the jigsaw puzzle apart with those resources and putting them back together is not an easy task. And so, it took us some time to make sure that we have capacity at other locations to try and get programs up and running to accommodate the users from TEMS. And I'm quite happy with the way that we have approached this, and we are just trying to be honest and transparent with council and the public on this infrastructure failure at TEMS.
Actually, my last question was something that you mentioned in your answer just there, the lifeguard shortage, which is not, as you said, exclusively a City of London issue, but that's a pool that would take a lot of staff, right? You would need a lot of staff to run that pool safely. So does that spread things out and make that lifeguard shortage a little bit easier in some of the other pool facilities around the city, the fact that we are not running Thames Pool this summer?
Yeah, it does. It's our only 50-meter, 8-lane pool, outdoor pool in the city. Thames, it's a destination and a region for many in the city who use that location. And because of that size and the scope of programming, it does take up the most amount of lifeguards and resources. It is our busiest facility. So this will allow us to offer expanded programs and expanded hours at other locations. And much of that is going to be driven by trying to accommodate these users from TEM who have been impacted by this outcome.
Well, I hope that's exactly what happened, because as I said, we have some disappointed parents, and I know you know that, and I understand that you and the staff there acknowledge sort of how important these pools are as community hubs to folks in the summer, especially, you know, as we do this interview on a day when it's going to be 40 degrees outside. So I appreciate I appreciate you spending some time and talking about this with me, John Paul.
Yeah, no, and we appreciate the opportunity, Craig, and the community can most certainly be expecting to hear from us, and for us to be working with them to try and find alternate strategies, and hopefully in 2023 this is all in the rearview mirror, and we can satisfy all of those users again. That most certainly is our number one objective.
I hope the very same thing. John Paul, thank you for doing this, and we'll talk to you soon, okay?
Thanks very much, Craig.
Thanks. All right, have a good day.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.
So there is your explanation from John Paul McGonigal, City of London, and I believe every single word. I want to be clear. Every single word of that conversation, I believe. I do find it interesting that we're not ruling out that, hey, wait a minute, maybe all this construction nearby may have caused some problems for the pool. I'm not saying that happened, but I'm interested that it wasn't ruled out. And I come back to this. I think that there could have been a little less negative reaction from the community if this was explained better earlier. And I think that there could have been a little less negative reaction from the community if there was at least some level, and I'm not saying there wasn't contrition, but the fact that this was buried in a news release, the fact that it was buried in a Twitter thread, made it seem like it was something that they weren't too sad about. And I know that that's not how the people over at Aquatics felt. I know they were sad about what happened. But it came off that the people who were responsible for giving this information to Londoners, the people who pay the freight, by the way, weren't terribly worried about it. And whether this impacts you as far as whether you're going to use that pool or not, I'm not saying it does, because you probably weren't going to anyway. It's a pool that's for a certain spot in the community, and that's fine. Maybe you live in Northwest London. You've never been to Thames Pool. You don't even know where it is. Fine. But the way that the City of London communicates bad news or news that has a significant impact on various communities within the city, that should matter to you, because what happened here wasn't good enough. And I think that there needs to be some criticism. And here it is right here on this podcast. So for next time, City of London staff, if you're listening to me right now, and I'm sure you are, for next time, if you have to tell a community that a significant neighborhood asset is not going to be usable for an entire calendar year, because let's be honest, if you're saying to someone a pool is not going to be available for June, July, August, then you're telling them it's not going to be usable all year. Don't put it on the fourth line of a news release. Don't put it on the third tweet in a thread. Make it its own thing, give it its own deal, and have a little bit of an explanation as opposed to, well, it's not working. Now, that explanation was given when asked by the media. Some media outlets got an explanation faster than others. I'm not going to say that that was personal, but here we are. That explanation was given eventually, but when you don't give the explanation, when you don't show your work, it gives time for people to create their own narrative or get angry about something that may or may not have occurred. I'll give you a political comparison, then we'll wrap up this podcast, which, by the way, is brought to you by our friends over at Lexus of London. Lifestyle with a drive. Your new Lexus is patiently waiting at Lexus of London. Luxury redefined. Choose yours today at the award-winning Lexus of London, 1065 Warncliffe Road South, and online at lexusoflondon.com. I'll give you a political comparison here, and I'm not saying it's an apples-to-apples comparison. I'm not saying it completely fits, but here's the example I give you. From a communications perspective, when you don't communicate enough, problems ensue. Remember in the 2011 provincial campaign, or 2014, excuse me, provincial campaign. Kathleen Wynne, leader of the Liberal Party, she's just taken the job, she's got a minority, and a lot of people thought, hey, you know what, she's probably not going to win this thing. She winds up winning a majority. Good for her. She ran a good campaign. I have many issues with the way that Kathleen Wynne ran the province of Ontario, but I will never dispute that she was good at running a campaign, because that was the case. One of the things that turned that campaign was Tim Hudak announcing, I think it was a Thursday or Friday, you know, someone who was there would know better, and if you remember, email or tweet me at Needles on News, that, hey, if I'm elected premier, we're going to cut, what was it, 100,000 public service jobs in the province of Ontario. No details were given about this, none. So that essentially gave Kathleen Wynne the weekend to decide which public servants Tim Hudak was going to fire. And then that narrative stayed with it for the rest of the campaign. Tim Hudak, she says, well, Tim Hudak's going to fire this many nurses, this many teachers. Now, Tim Hudak, I suspect, was probably thinking about bureaucrats that were not public-facing, that the vast majority of the public would not have missed if they were not working at the province of Ontario anymore. But he didn't say that, did he? He just said, I'm going to fire 100,000 public service workers. And then he let Kathleen Wynne tell you, it's teachers, nurses, and snowplow drivers. And all of a sudden, people thought that sounded like a bad idea. And it was. So because of that information vacuum, there's a whole lot of negativity. So when it comes to communicating with the public, I will suggest to you, be it at the City of London or anywhere else, don't leave that information vacuum. Remember when we talked about the Chris Mackey story a few months ago? And when I said, you know what, I'm going to start really working on this and figuring out what's really going on here. It's when we got that one sentence news release from the health unit saying, hey, Chris Mackey is on leave right now. And that was it. That's all it said. An information vacuum is going to cause more problems than it solved. Now, in that case, I understand Health Unit comm staff didn't have a whole lot of choice. Chris Mackey was not going on vacation. Chris Mackey was removed from his job, in my belief, and I think that we've got enough evidence that confirms this here, was because of a toxic work environment he had created. So I understand you can't flush out that news release very well. I get that. But in the case of what's going on with a pool or what's going on with the campaign announcement, you can do those things. And if you don't, trouble ensues. There is our conversation about comms at the City of London, comms and politics, and what mistakes can happen when you do not properly execute. We'll wrap up the Craig Needles podcast there, which of course is brought to you by our friends over at Lexus of London. Visit them at 1065 Warncliffe Road South and online at lexusoflondon.com. You of course can find this podcast at classicrock981.com as well as londonnewstoday.ca and on your favorite podcast app.
The Craig Needles podcast is a presentation of the Blackburn Media Podcast Network.